8:45 on the clock.
Not good.
Okay, it's 8:45 on the clock, so we will call the order of the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, March 1st, 2017, and we will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. The consent agenda: one is a general agenda, two is approve the minutes of the meeting held February 15, 2017. Approve all claims through March 1st, 2017 in the amount of $408,211.46. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve March Against Child Abuse Walk to be held on April 22nd, 2017 from 10 to 2 p.m., 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Approve receiving and place on file NIRMA's annual report. Approve 2017 Gage County Highway Policies with Townships. Approve placing the 2007 Dodge Charger with 197,241 miles VIN number 2B3KA43H 87H845328 and the 2009 Dodge Charger with 195,895 miles, VIN number 2B3KA43T39H569129 on Purple Wave Auction Service. Approve utility permit number 1060 for Windstream. Setting new pedestal 33 feet south of center of road and splicing into existing cable in the south shoulder of Township Road to provide service to residents at 7359 East Birch Road, located in the northwest fourth of Section 34, Township 6 North, Range 7 East, which is Nemaha Township. Entertain a motion to approve.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
A motion by Byers, second by Tiemann. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. And we do have a timed event at 9:30 for the special use permit, and last time we did let some talk at that time, but I think this time only Holtmeyers are going to be talking at that time. If you'd like to talk or comment on that, this is your opportunity here in the public comment part of the meeting. You are allowed to come up and talk again. If you do about the special use permit, we'll limit you to 3 minutes, especially if you talk before. But this is the time here where if you'd like to talk about it, you're sure. This is the public comment, so everybody's allowed to talk here. On any and on any subject, I see you're here too again and stuff. So if you want to talk about anything, this is public comment. So
I'll wait till later.
Leonard's going to wait.
I'll wait till later till you get tuned in.
No. No, this is when public comment. We can't ask you any questions. You're allowed to talk if you would like to talk. The board cannot act on anything in public comment, and we are not allowed to ask questions in public comment. So.
I have something I would like to say, please.
On up to the mic, and then your name and address. Yes.
My name is Patricia Meyer. I live at 27832 Southwest 117th Road, Beatrice. I would just like to make the comment that we found out quite by accident when Mr. Schaefer was going through the binder. And in one of your sections, there was a letter that supposedly Holtmeyers sent to all the neighbors after the planning and zoning. I don't know what happened, but I haven't talked to one neighbor that got the letter. I just would like that to go on record. We only found out about it because we heard the comment when we contacted our attorney. It was in his binder. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yes.
Yep, come on up.
I'm Gerald Meyer. I live at 27832 Southwest 117th Road. Concerning that letter, a couple of things in there that could be construed as different than what it is. It says something about landscaping and current site at the, and I think it was I who talked about landscaping, and the landscaping I'm talking about was the pollution of the landscape, not on the ground, but put up buildings and whatever else that pollutes that landscape. And I just wanted that to make clear. And then also crime was brought up. It says that the county sheriff would probably take care of most of that problem. These criminals are going to know when that sheriff's not there. It can't say that it's safe. So that just is misconstrued, too. And also, I was certified organic in 1989. And I kept up by OCIA International, which is a certifying agency. And I was certified till about 2005, which at that time I got so busy I couldn't keep it up. But I just wanted to mention that. Mazda has been talking about the organic end of it. And if I got a drift over there to my place, the inspectors that I talked to said that we've never heard of that before, but we would have to rule on it one way or the other, and probably the land would be out for that year. So I just wanted to bring that up. That's all I have. Do you want copies of this certificate?
If you want to place it in public file, then we can have copies of it. We can give it to Don, right?
Well,
or not. No? Not in public comment.
It's not a public forum.
It's not a public forum.
Because, like, we got some petitions after the fact.
Yeah.
Those don't go in. The public hearing is going to close. But, I mean, well, you made your statement.
I made your statement.
Yeah, you're all right.
Yeah,
Myron, as we've had a few more people come in, you might let them know we're just sharing some conversation now and we're going to have the hearing later.
Right. Well, Holtmeyer's will be at the 9:30. They'll be commenting.
Sure.
But
I just want to make sure everybody knows
this
that
is,
we're going to have.
Yeah, this is the we're in the public comment part of our regular agenda. Holtmeyer's or the people with the permit, I should say, they will be at 9:30 in the timed event. But for the rest of the people that are here, if you'd like to comment on anything as they just did on the permit, this is the part of the agenda which you will need to comment on. So we will not have anybody other than the permit applicants commenting at that time at 9:30. So, anybody else? If not, we will move on our agenda. Next up, committee reports, building and ground winter lights.
Okay, Dave has been working on the telephone system. He told us in our committee meetings Monday that there are some issues with our telephones all the way across everybody that we have work with. And so he's still working on that. He doesn't have anything to bring back to us at this point. But
well, other than they think they found the problem now. They hope they have. They have them working.
Yes, we think.
We think that, well, they were working Friday, he said. They believe they found the problem, and it relates back to, or they believe it comes from, yet the lightning strike down at the city building and stuff. And this is something that quite often shows up later. And this is some wires that maybe were affected then, and they finally, Dave has been here quite often in the last, I'll call it 6 months. People have been really visiting with him about problems, and he can never get the right people down here because we have AmeriCom inside the courthouse and out to our other numbers. Windstream comes in, and they can never get, they would never show up at the same time, and he had to really, Dave really put a lot of time and effort in this. I'll just say that. So
Dave has worked like crazy to get this straightened out.
And very flustered, too, Dave has been. Yes,
no question about it.
How much more mileage are we going to get out of this lightning strike? That's what I want to know. Everything.
Yeah.
Well, if Gus, next time you have a plumbing problem, it's probably going to be because of that lightning strike.
Yep. I know you guys don't want to hear it, but I'm going to say it again. This is exactly why I say we should have one person working on our phone systems as opposed to having Americon and Windstream both, because they don't play well together and it becomes a issue every time because they point fingers at each other and nothing gets
well
done.
Dave said it used to be that with some people that lived in Beatrice and worked for Windstream, he always had kind of people he could call, and he got what he called good results. And he said now when you call a number, it's somebody from you don't know where, and getting everybody coordinated and stuff. And yeah,
I knew you were going to go.
The main problem is the offices on the outside of the courthouse. We don't have phone issues inside the courthouse. It's those that are going out to the other, and it's the Windstream lines going out to the other.
It was probation this time really had some issues, and so the extension office. The extension office wasn't even getting any phone call in or anything.
That's due to some flipping of some.
At the same time, BPS was having problems also.
They were.
School?
Yeah.
School was down.
Yep. So I don't know if it's all related or not, but it was
same
time frame.
I don't know what they found or whatever, but yeah, Dave could really visit with us. So
I like Terry and Eric's idea of using the sheriff's radios.
Two ways?
Should be able to use them as much as they cost.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate that.
Any update on the bathrooms, too, a little bit?
Yeah, he work, trying to get them so the man will be able to use the bathroom on this floor someday. And so we take care of all the girls first, let them have their bathroom first. Everybody make a note of that, all you girls.
At times you're able to walk by there when the doors are open. They could catch a peek in there and stuff. They're laying a lot of tile and stuff.
Yeah, take a look. The tile looks great, and they've really been doing a great job. And when they were getting that ready and I went in there and Dave and his staff, they're in there with hammers and crowbars and they're tearing it apart. And we are so lucky to have Dave Jones manage this courthouse. He is absolutely fantastic. And I want everyone to know, I come by here a lot even on the weekends. Dave's working so often on a Saturday or a Sunday, and just so he can get things done. He's fantastic. That's all I have.
Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance, insurance.
I just want to commend Galen for only spending a little over $8,000 this last time. That must be a record. I don't know if you've got anything.
Just two large ticket items I'll bring up. Baxter Chrysler Dodge, Sheriff's Department, new vehicle. And Washington County Sheriff's Office, boarding inmates, $24,010. The person was $27,698. Probably one of the lowest requests we've had in a long time. Total spent 2 weeks, $180,746.
Gus and Galen must have been on vacation. They didn't spend any money. Good job, guys.
Human Resource Employee Relations.
I guess what your conversation with the Extension Office.
Yeah, we got to have it, because of the phone lines was out there and the visit with Jane, and we had more conversation with Dave Warner, then who is with the university, about switching that position over to the university. And then we did get Jane's whole pay package sent up to them, and then we will hopefully I'll try and get them down here the last meeting in March. And then we can have more conversation with them. Try and get something done out there. I think at least my take on it is that the board, the best option out there for that position is to switch it over to there, over to the university, and see now if we can come together with an agreement. Law Enforcement Emergency Management.
We had more discussion on the sheriff's office project and discuss some of the changing the garage around the offices and looking at what we're going to do with the evidence room and stuff like that. But other than that, there was nothing, unless Gus has something new.
You had some information.
Did you visit with your staff relative to what I brought up about them not going in to out to investigate the robberies? And
yeah, but I still need to get some specifics so I know exactly who to talk to on it.
Okay.
If you can get that for me, that'd be great.
Okay, I will.
Eric?
Did you get two new cars? Have you ever ascertained how many miles are actual patrol and work miles versus driving home and to work miles? Percentage-wise?
Well, some ones live in town really wouldn't amount to much. I have about three in the county, so you just take a round trip. I suppose the one that's furthest away might be 20 miles, round trip, 40 miles a day.
Is that built into their benefit package then? Or, I mean, is that something that you consider as part of their wages?
That's just something we've grown into over the last few decades, that they have their own vehicles, and that's just moved on from there. So, well, it's a definite benefit, because CIR indicated that, so obviously that's where we're at now.
Should we maybe, the people that aren't putting the personal miles on like that, maybe give them the new cars and then cycle the older ones to the ones that are driving further?
Well, we try to place them around according to whether four-wheel drive or not, where they live, you know, try to get a blend of that across the county, so if you had bad weather or something, we got to go on a mud road, we have the ability to do that. So it's not always based on seniority, but obviously they're always fighting over, especially if they get to the new ones. You know, that's a big deal for the younger ones. But we try to base it on really where they're stationed at more than anything else.
So in here, in this paper, I mean, you received one car, and I thought it was fitted already even.
It is. It's just getting graphics on now. I brought it back yesterday, so by first next week, it'll be on the road. The other one just got in this week, and it'll be going up to get fitted out as well.
Okay.
Well, that was one other thing. It said Baxter Dodge or Baxter Chrysler. Is there a reason we can't get those from here in town? Is that something where one dealer has to provide those for state price?
It's a state bid price. They'll have a primary and secondary. We had a few times over the years, not a lot, but a few times, let a local dealer get involved, but it cost us more. I mean, we had to float them a few more dollars to pick it up and get it ready for us. So it was about $500, I suppose, $800 extra if a guy would do that. Otherwise, like up here with Baxter, now what they do, they come in and they'll drive them to Omaha and get them squared around and bring them back for us and everything. I mean, that's just something they do, which is nice. I mean, you see, there's a lot of driving, but that's the main reason there. It's all about money. So,
Road and Bridge. Okay, Myron, today we will open rock and gravel bids at 9:15. Galen's been working on county highway policies with townships. Our Township Association meeting will be held March 9th, 2017 at 7 o'clock at the Extension office. And Galen had a handout for bids on six culvert projects that had an estimate from Minnelli's office of $118,000. Galen will put these out for bids. Other than that, the roads are good.
Yep, and we had a little discussion on that, whether to do maybe a couple of them separate or some of them separate or all of them, and I think the board kind of thought it'd be best if, as long as Galen was thought that way too, to put those all out in one package, might be able to get a better bid, hopefully, and stuff. So, anything else for Road and Bridge? Okay, the first two items on there are timed items, the 9:15 and 9:30. So, Gus, it's only 9:04 on the clock, so I think we have time for your fourth quarter report.
Good morning. We're going to start with the Sheriff's Office fourth quarter 2016. Calls for service was 1,796. We had 98 accidents, 61 citations, 277 warnings, 138 arrests, 297 papers were served, 111 arrest warrants were served. We generated $2,740.69 in fees. Mileage earned was $3,114.68. Nothing from copies. Distress warrants collected in full was $4,427.32. No partial pays on distress warrants. Town inspections fees were $3,030. Petroleum miles driven approximately 85,757. Patrol mile units driven from transports was 1,568. Money collected or reimbursed, or I say, from grants was $754.54. No meth labs, 10 drug violations. We had no reserve miles. We had 5 reserve hours. We had 125 billing checks and found 3 of those billing checks were open. Moving to the jail. Male bookings was 159. Females was 69. Felonies, 142. Misdemeanors, 209. And the miscellaneous others were 81.
Oh, you're doing 2014.
Well, I am. Excuse me. I got too much in one page here. We're going to back up. Bookings for males, 147. Females, 55. Felonies was 111. Misdemeanors was 175. Others were 75. A sheriff's office arrests were 122. Beatrice Police were 68. Wire Police was 2. State Patrol was 5. And for Eric's benefit, he was asking about drug arrests. So I went back the whole year, Eric, to get you the numbers on that. So it was 112 for the first quarter, 121 for the second quarter, 166 for the third quarter, and 66 for the fourth quarter. Alcohol arrests were 18. Average daily population was 24. Average outside population was 16 high and 10 were low. Income for outside prisoner holding was $2,805. Income for fingerprints is $410. Inmate phone usage was nothing. Commission on commissary was $4,976. Spent for outside prisoner holding was $26,860.64. We had 7,980 miles put on for transport van miles on jail transports. General care and emergency care was $9,946.24. Had no vision costs, and we had 1,008 in dental. For total of medical care was $10,954.24.
Just back on the front page, you had our fourth quarter mileage was 85,000. That's a little bit, or I should say about the highest one listed there for a while.
Sheriff's Office?
Yeah.
A lot driven by two things, usually calls for service. If we had to do a lot of follow-up back and forth one call, and if we're doing any grants, then the grants will pick a lot of that up. The one downside to the grants is the reimbursement only comes back to in the overtime amount. So with the way the contract reads, it's not 160 hours, 168, so I lose that 8 hours in there. So that's why there's not more reimbursed on it.
Sheriff, on the income for outside prisoner holding, am I understanding that right? We're at $2,805. That's income we're getting for holding for other counties or other entities?
No, the spent outside prisoner holding?
No, the income for outside prisoner holding. Go up one,
oh, yeah,
two, three, four,
see.
Five lines.
$2,805. Yeah, that... we might have held for somebody else for whatever reason it could be. You know, just we don't do that very often because we really don't even have room for it. But there might have been a couple of days something happened where we had a little room. We could squeeze somebody in that was in a bind.
What do you have for capacity? How many people can you hold?
30.
So at 24, we're always bouncing on the limiter, I suppose.
Well, 26 is where we're supposed to be at because we have to keep those future cells for fresh arrest each night. So what we've done is I've gone away from holding any females here any length of time, and females mostly all go down to Washington County because that's where we start.
And that's still going really well in Washington.
It's going very well. We're working through an issue right now, the billing, and the sheriff and I and Don have been working on that because what happens is when they send us a bill from the hospital or a clinic down wherever it is, they have Washington County listed on it. Well, the auditor wants us to have our name on it to pay for it. Well, I can't get Medicaid reduction in Nebraska when they're down there. So we're trying to work out a system where he can get the bill, he gets the Medicaid rate reduction, and then gets it to us so we can pay that remaining amount. So we're trying to work through that, working between the hospital and the clinic and all of us three. So hopefully we'll get through that. Otherwise, it's been working very, very well.
And Kansas does not have jail standards?
did have, they got rid of it. Now, talking to Sheriff Cordry down there, they're looking at possibly doing something again. They don't know why, because down there, the sheriffs kind of get together and kind of run the show, and they all kind of independent how they want to do things. But he did mention to me a while back that they're looking at maybe doing something, but I don't know what the extreme what we have. Yep. Okay, moving on for fourth quarter 2016 screening station stats. With staff 248 days, you had 15,572 patrons came through the screening station. That was averaging 55 patrons per day. We had 2,708 cell phones were brought to the door. 396 cutting stabbing instruments were found. 5 canisters of pepper spray, 4 loaded gun magazines, 5 bullets, and 2 handcuff keys were also found.
Gus, isn't,
is that for the year or is that for the fourth quarter?
This is for a fourth quarter right here. That's the other one I'm going to do later, I think, isn't it?
Paid before is fourth quarter.
Well, fourth quarter is. I'm sorry. You reimbursed mine. We'll start back here. I'm sorry. Fourth quarter. Okay, screening station staff for 60 days in fourth quarter. They had 3,965 patrons were screened. That was 66 patrons per day. They had 667 cell phones brought to the floor. 93 stabbing cutting instruments were brought to the floor. 4 canisters of pepper spray were also found. 13 people were arrested on warrants. 18 people were remanded into custody. Assisted in escort of 8 inmates. 1 misdemeanor citation was issued. 1 civil process paper was served. Responded to a medical emergency in the courthouse and they attended safety committee meeting. That was fourth quarter for last year. Now the second is, I asked Brian to get that for the full year so you can see what we have on that. The screening station, 248 days, had 15,572 patrons come through. They had 55 patrons a day. 2,708 cell phones were brought to the door. 396 cutting and stabbing instruments were found. 5 canisters of pepper spray, 4 loaded gun magazines, 5 bullets, and 2 handcuff keys were found. 39 people were arrested on warrants. 40 people were remanded into custody. Court deputies assisted corrections in 68 escorts. There were 25 civil papers were served. 12 citations were issued. 1 felony arrest was made. Attended 4 safety committees. The facilitated 3 courthouse staff trainings and responded to 2 medical emergencies. That was entire 2016.
And our screening station is on the third floor. How do you get to the third floor?
Through the second floor.
Second floor. So these items are in the courthouse on the first and second floor.
These items, which are also letter openers and pens, that are stabbing devices. We have to remember what some of these items are that are flashing and stabbing devices. I feel very safe
pepper
still.
Pepper spray and the statement of fact, that's all.
Why would somebody bring in pepper spray, though?
Why would someone bring in a loaded gun magazine?
We have lots of times they'll bring drugs in and they'll take off and they'll try to hide them in the restrooms, which you've had that option lately. But we've found a lot of things in the bathrooms as well. So,
do you confiscate these?
Well, lots of times we'll just tell them to take it back. If it's legal, we'll just tell them to take it back to the car. If there's some issues where they can't walk that far, that we got lockers wrapped and put in. Otherwise, we'll cite. We've had a couple, I think, that have been cited or arrested because of concealed weapons. And they weren't licensed for it, but otherwise we try to work with the public, remind them you got to take it back to your car. If they can't, they don't have a car and they had to walk here, then we'll let them use the locker, and we try to accommodate best we can.
Okay, tell me what it means. You've got 39 people arrested on warrants, obviously, that were already been issued, and then 40 people remanded into custody. Does that include the 39 people, or is that an additional 40 people?
That would be additional, probably, because the warrants something issue, and he run checks on people, and they come through lots of times. Or we got the court dockets, we'll be able to see who it is, and they'll run checks on it. So those were warrants that they found, they arrested on them. The additional number is probably when the judge sentenced.
From the court.
Okay.
Yep, separate.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. That's not part of the screening. It's part of going into the court.
And Brian and his folks help facilitate that. They're standing in the courtroom when there's going to be a sentencing, and then they'll basically cuff them and remove them from the courtroom as quickly as possible.
I thought our county attorney's office handled all that.
We're told to stay low and stay out of the way.
That's exactly right.
They took all our guns away. joke.
Any other questions?
Nope. I'll entertain them.
Entertain a motion to place on file fourth quarter report.
So moved.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Lytle, seconded by Bauman. Vote. Oh, motion by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Vote. 7-0 in favor. And it's 9:16 on the clock now, so we do have a timed event to close and accept, reject, or award rock and gravel bids. So entertain a motion to close rock bids.
You record. Make a motion to close all rock bids at 9:15 or whatever time it is, Myron.
Second. Motion by Juergens and seconded by Lytle. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Okay. Pass this down to Terry again.
The first one is from Rush Creek Quarries. And rather than go down through all these separately listed types of rock, I'll just go with a common one. Let's go with three-quarter inch crushed rock. The bid, $13 per ton. This is from for hauling from rock on gravel bid. As always, all these this is rock on trucking only from the Alex pit. I'll just give you the range for each township. This is township hauling. And then there's also a bid from the Powell pit. The Alex pit, which is the most expensive one, the furthest one away, you're looking at bids anywhere from $10.36 down to $6.78 per ton. This is just delivery only. Going down to the one. From the Powell pit, I'm sorry. Powell pit. Delivery range throughout the townships from $9.18 per ton all the way down to $4.83 per ton. Once again, a bid from Rock On Incorporated. Rock On Trucking only from the site's quarry. Delivery costs for the townships again range anywhere from $6.50 down to $2.70 per ton. Delivery from Du Bois. Trucking only again. $10.85 down to $7.55, depending on locations of the township. What's that one? Ace Sand and Gravel. Gravel bid. $ Pit price, $13 per ton. Bid's good only if I have gravel. So.
He put it on there this year, huh? Yeah.
This RL Team and Construction. This would be washed gravel from RL Team and Construction. Pit price for the gravel is $12.65. This is priced out as material and hauling to all the different townships. Correct? He's not here. Cost per ton, $23.29. The range all the way down to $18.99.
Did it list on there which pit price was from?
Yes. Alex Pitt. So it's a washed gravel. That'd be the furthest pit away from us, basically.
Yeah.
This is a screen gravel bid from RL Team and Construction. Pit price for the gravel is $12.45 per ton, which would remain consistent. The material is Beatrice Concrete or NEPCO from the Powell Pit. It's a bank run screen gravel. Cost range anywhere from $22.48 for gravel and hauling per township all the way down to a low of Beatrice Sand and Gravel, Galen, is that the former Beatrice Concrete? Is that what they go by now? Okay. These are our pit prices for products from Beatrice Sand and Gravel. This is rock. And the three-quarter was $15.50 per ton. The pit location...
Where is it, John? Looks under the site square, but see it.
I know. Does it say it on there?
I don't see the location, though.
I would assume it's Sites Quarry, but Gail will go through this and verify.
Here, it's got the
location.
Township description.
I'll move on. John will look that up.
Besides.
The truck.
Somebody's here from it. Sites.
Yeah. Okay. Once again, Beatrice Sand and Gravel, washed gravel bid, $11.65 per ton. Location Thayer County, so I'm assuming that would be the
Alex
Pitt. $11.65 per ton. Beatrice Sand and Gravel again. This is probably the Powell Pitt. Screened blank gravel blank bid, $11.45 per ton. One more.
Here's it.
This one is from Gaina Trucking and Excavating Incorporated. Pit location, Powell or Boyden Pits out of Jefferson County. Pit price, 1307 gravel, 1307 out of the Powell pit, 1328 out of the Boyden pit per ton. And he has all the townships priced here as for material and hauling. The prices range from $22.63 per ton delivered down to a low of $18.50 per ton. Gain of trucking. Also on here, we'll utilize the following subcontractors for furnishing delivery of gravel: Martin Marietta, Weeping Water, Powell, and Boyden Pitt. Guess I'm not done. Another bid, Gaina Trucking and Excavating Incorporated. It's Weeping Water, rock bid. He doesn't have a three-quarter crushed rock, as I used for examples on the other one. So I'll go with the inch-and-a-half crushed rock, $18.11 per ton. And these are all screenings. Screenings, I don't know. Here's the inch-and-a-half crusher run limestone. Inch-and-a-half clean limestone. Let's go with the clean. And there's riprap in there, 3 to 9 inch stone. Let's go with the inch and a half clean limestone. The delivery cost per ton range from $28.11 per ton, excuse me, $29.22 per ton. Let me go back one more time. $30.67 per ton to a low of $25.22 per ton. This is coming from where is it coming from? Weeping Water.
Mark Manier.
Weeping Water. So that's why the locations further south you go, the higher it gets. Is that it?
That's it.
As we've done in the past, I would recommend or move that we accept all bids and have Galen and the staff at the county road department review and come back with recommendations at our next meeting.
Second. 2 weeks.
Motion by Duren, seconded by Bauman. Any more discussion or anything? Vote 7-0 in favor. So we'll give them. We'll pass them off to Galen, and normally they come back at our next meeting with all of the details outlined and comparison. So we have Lima.
Byron, if one thing I did notice in there, I think I noticed anyway, the costs were higher all the way through, almost all the way through, than what they were a year ago. So
yeah. And Gaylon, I have to be able to give us a better answer on that in 2 weeks. And if you have any questions, don't be afraid to ask Gaylon or talk to him about that and everything. So we do have a timed event at 9:30. It's 9:30 on the clock, so we will proceed to that. It's with our special use permit, 2017-1, for the storage tanks and so on. At this time, I would ask the Holtmeyers and them to come up with a permit this morning and introduce yourselves first here so we know who's up here or whatever.
You bet. Well, good morning, Commissioners. My name is Jeff Gierig. I'm an attorney here in town, and I represent the Holtmeyer brothers with respect to this matter. And I want to thank you for your time this morning and your careful consideration with respect to the special use permit that we're seeking. We're here to answer any questions that the board may have and to answer them to the best of our ability. And we will defer to the board as far as the vote today. There could be a development in the sense of this. If you, the board feels that or desires more information from whatever regulatory agency, we would be more than willing to cooperate with the board and get any further information requested. In doing so, that might require this board to tap the brakes and table this matter for a brief extension so that we could respond to any inquiries. If the board desires to seek some supplemental or further information, then the board may wish to table this matter. Perhaps we would request or recommend not to drag this out, but for due diligence purposes, a 30-day extension. However, we are not going to get in the way of a vote. And if this board is prepared to vote today and take the matter up, we sure can respect that as well. We're here to be, the Holtmeyer brothers, to be good neighbors, good citizens. We want to work with the board. We want to work with the citizens of Gage County. So we are going to defer to the board as far as how the board would like to proceed. We are here to answer any questions. I think the information that we've provided, I think we've, to this date, has been, I hope you find it to be sufficient to make a decision or a vote. But if further information or inquiries are made or desired, we sure will respond to those as well. So with that, I will open it up to the board, of course, and defer to the authority of the board. But if there's any specific questions for Mr. Holtmeyer's, I got Mike here, Kirk, and Mr. Dustin Grunewald. Why don't you two gentlemen come up as well? So with that, I'll just we'll sit here.
I have a question for you then, I guess. We visited with some of you this morning about maybe deferring this a little bit. But are you, my question then to you this morning is, are you prepared today to give your information or any more information you want to give that we could have a vote?
No, and here's why. The process, and it's kind of a reverse engineering right now. Normally, we start with the county, and which we have done, and then we seek if there's the regulatory agency, as we all know, is the state fire marshal. So after, you know, in the typical kind of cart before the horse or horse before the cart, we'd start here and then go to the state fire marshal. However, there is a scenario or a possibility that a review plan could be submitted to the state fire marshal. And that review plan could be looked at as for compliance for state statute, and then a letter of compliance could be sought before the vote. Normally, it's after the vote, but so the question is, does the board desire a letter of compliance from the state fire marshal before voting? We could do that, and we could have that probably turned around in 30 days, and so that would be the additional information. So I don't want to have any false assumptions of that we're going to come in here with a grand presentation. It would be a due diligence, a compliance letter that we are the Holtmeyer brothers have complied with state law in the review process, which they intend to do anyway. It's just that we would do it local, you know, local first, then state. But we have been in continued communications with the fire marshal so that we can work with them and work with the board to facilitate and get any information. So,
I mean, it would take 30 days. You couldn't do it in 2 weeks.
We don't. The problem, Commissioner Byers, is that we'd hate to set it out in 2 weeks and then come up in here in 2 weeks and ask for another table or continuance. We could do it in 2 weeks, perhaps, but knowing that we're asking a state regulatory agency to weigh in and not knowing their workload, and I know your busy workload, it's just out of abundance of caution, we might want to give us a 30-day review period. But if it's 2 weeks, we would come back in 2 weeks and we could report to say, yes, we do have the information, or no, we need another 2 weeks to get the information. So something.
Well, you know, the state agencies are always overworked. Always.
They can be busy at this time of year, so yes.
I guess I'll take comments from the board, I guess.
My take on it, you know, on that type of permit with the type of facility they're going to put in, I would guess, and I'm guessing I'm right, it's 99.9% sure it'll be approved by the state fire marshal. But I can't say 100%, so. Any new facility is not going to go up unless you've got their okay. So,
I think it's admirable on the part of Mr. Holtmeyer and his attorney that they say, hey, let's get an opinion. Let's make sure this is okay. And looking out for the neighbors as well and saying, hey, this is going to be okay. It's going to be safe. And I think we should wait. And I guess we could have conversation, but I can make a move to table it for 30 days also.
Second. That's a motion?
Yes.
Second.
In a second. We have a motion by Byers and a second by Bauman. Now we can still have conversation before we vote. Anybody else?
I guess I would ask both of you, Mr. Holtmeyers. There is a room full of people here that are your neighbors there. I can see both sides of this. If I own this building and this lot, I'm selling seed. I want to sell chemical, liquid fertilizer, anhydrous, all in one spot, provide a good service to my customers. So I'd want to have everything on one spot. You're on a blacktop, minimal land area, so you don't have a big piece of property there, kept costs down there, nice building. So I can understand where you're coming from on this and wanting to provide a good service as low a cost for you as you can. You've got a room full of people here that are the surrounding neighbors on what is virtually an ag residential area there. It's not a subdevelopment, but when I look on the plat book, that's the only area that's broken to broken into lots like that. Is that your only option, or is there? We want you in Gage County. We want the economic development in the county. We don't want to shun you. We want to open the doors and have you come in. At the same time, we have residents here too, so we're trying to look at protecting their rights and still welcoming you in. Is there other options, or is there anything else on the table that you've thought of?
As of this point, I think in business planning sessions we had, we've discussed that. I would say strongly, probably no, we do not have a plan B for what we're looking at. This was probably our first yes out of seven tries about 3 years ago. You mentioned this was the only place that subdivided it out, which was Mr. Weens's, I think it was Charlie Weens, had it several years ago and did it, which he is well within his right to do it. And everybody's done according to the zoning, according to it. You know, there could be four houses per quarter section. There's three there now. So we respect their opinions. You know, I live in the country. I don't want to look at a grain bin. I don't want to look at anhydrous ammonia tanks. I don't want to look at a bunch of houses. But if you ask me if my neighbors had the right to do what was written down that they could do, I would say they have the right to do that. So we feel that spot is prime. Even though for the anhydrous ammonia part, it is a prime spot. That just kind of sheer coincidence. So I hope I answered your question, but trying to be respectful of everybody. So.
Any more discussion?
With respect to delaying this, I have visited with both the Holtmeyers and I visit with Mazes, and they're just absolutely wonderful and accommodating. They've got a very unique situation down there, so I think it's very appropriate that we wait, lest we make a decision without having every I dotted and every T crossed and all the information. So I think it's good that we wait and we go through this, and we've done this before in the past, but we try to gather as much information as possible. So I certainly think that we as a board would probably have a little bit of regret if there was some information that we were able to obtain that we didn't see. So I think it's good we back this off a little.
John?
And I guess I have no problem waiting. I don't think it's going to change the way I'm leaning, but, there might be something out there that changes the way I'm thinking. And
I forget. I think I visited with Mike this morning. That's the phone number I had. But I talked to him, too, and my comment to him was I think this board very much wants to make sure they make the right decision. And if it takes another 30 days, then it takes another 30 days. We don't want to, like Matt said, later regret that we made the wrong decision based on some information or something that we could have had. So I did visit with him a little bit about the fact that if it would happen to be approved, the spring season's passed. They're looking at the fall season or whatever, getting ready for that. So that time-wise here, there is time for that. For that aspect of it, but I think too, I think this board here, we've always done a real good job of making sure we feel comfortable with our vote when we vote, and that's what we want to do here. We want to make sure that we make the right vote, that we, each of us individually, that we make the right vote, what we want to vote.
Just to follow, and I've talked to all you guys, the site's open anytime you want to come out and take a look. The exact plan we're submitting to the fire marshals, we'll get you guys a copy of. And, you know, if you want to see in real life, or not, you know what I mean, it's there. You can look. You can take a look around. And, you know, if you want to start getting Google Earth and doing exact distances and whatnot, or you want us to pull that information, we can, you know, we're not doing property lines anymore. We're as specific as we can. So, and if we submit the plan to the office, I mean, they're going to require us to be probably within a few feet. So
and we're not quite 30 days, we're 28 days, so it'd be the 29th or whatever. So
their standard answer is 2 to 3 weeks, and they will not say anything else. So
okay,
that's all I got.
We will have it, just so everybody knows when they vote, we'll have it on the 29th again at 9:30. We'll just make it a timed event if this passes to delay it 2 weeks, just so when you vote that you know.
Four weeks.
I'm sorry. 4 weeks. To delay till our March 29th meeting at 9:30. So just so as you vote, you know when it's going to happen.
And I've been out there five times now, and so I've been looking at that property every way I possibly can. So trying to protect the people who are living in the area, and let's make sure that we take care of them. And I think it'd be a real good idea, Mike, if you'd have a meeting of the people in your area and yourself, and you have a conversation with them directly. I think that would be very good. Relationships, relationships, relationships.
I think, speaking off of Kirk and Dustin, we'd be more than happy to entertain anybody out there, and if we need to anybody, I mean, they can see exactly where it's at, and I'll be very accessible no matter which way. If it votes up and we do it, we're going to be very accessible. So,
any more discussion? Vote. 6 in favor, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann, and Juergens voting against. So 6 in favor of delaying this for until our meeting in 4 weeks on the 29th. So thank you.
I find it interesting that Supervisor Byers admitted to trespassing five times. I thought that was kind of interesting.
He had for me.
Thank you, Will. Look forward to seeing everybody back in 4 weeks for this. So there's nothing else we need to do with that.
No.
Okay.
All right. What do we got here? Where's my agenda?
Next up on the agenda, approve or disapprove recommendation of manager application.
You do that well.
For Darcy A. Smith as manager of the Weimar Country Club.
And I would move to approve the recommendation for Darcy manager as the manager of the
Second.
Country Club.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Bauman. And somebody explain this. I think Don and John were talking a little bit ago.
Yes.
We don't. Go ahead.
Well, and from what the Weimar City office told me this morning is, you know, the liquor application covers the entire country club, and part of which is in the city limits and part of which is in the not in the city limits, so both the city of Weimar and the county has to recommend to approve it.
Okay.
Make a recommendation on
that's
it.
That's why.
Yep.
Because when they're out on the ninth hole or wherever they're at, I don't even know how
yep.
that's done down there, but on the,
yep.
and then they are in part of the county.
Yep.
Well, I couldn't understand it either. The country club surely is in the city
we're,
limits there.
We're pretty highfalutin now. We're associated with a country club. I
yeah.
feel special.
We have done recommendations for
have nine holes at that country
twice.
Club?
Okay. Oh, yes.
Is that miniature golf, or what is that?
I guess. And this is a recommendation to the State Liquor Commission, right, Gus? Yeah, this isn't. Yeah, that they approve. This is a recommendation to the State Liquor Commission that they approve it.
Yeah,
that we approve it.
I know nothing about it, so it must be, yeah.
No,
okay.
They sent it to me to have you guys.
Okay, any more discussion? We had a motion?
Yep.
And a second. Vote, 7-0 in favor. Next up on the agenda, approve or disapprove resolution directing the highway superintendent to make a report on possibly changing a minimum maintenance road back to local classification, 1 mile running on the east side of Section 30, Township 5 North, Range 8 East, Hooker Township. Galen, I'll let you come up and talk a little bit about that.
We need a motion to approve.
A motion by Bauman and seconded by Juergens.
Okay.
This road is currently classified as a minimum maintenance road. It is at least three-fourths of its dirt road. At one time, there was a small segment on the south end of the mile that was had gravel on it. But there is a new residence being built at approximately the half mile line on this road. And to before we can put aggregate on this road, it has to be reclassified to a local road classification. And to do that, we have to submit this to the state and request it to be reclassified to a local classification. So,
and then they have to meet state standards then when they bring this road out.
Have to meet state standards. The road will be graded up to the new specifications, and then rock and then gravel applied to it.
Okay. Matt?
So Hooker Township, in doing this, as we go to the township board meetings, we always hear about additional product, additional gravel, additional things like that. They recognize that the proposed, that there's not going to request for proposed increase in material for them taking a road that was previously minimum maintenance to local again. I'm not in disagreement to improve the roads. I'm saying that the additional cost in our policies is we help initially improve that because we've tried to do that in other parts of the county. But are we going to get in a year or two a request for more product because now that they've added this road and we haven't allocated the product for that? We haven't moved on township gravel allocations in years.
This is for a house going in, I assume.
Right.
Yes.
But Matt's question is, and I don't know what Hooker's getting, but if they're getting 9 miles a year, they're not going to get 9 1/4 or a half miles a year because they're adding something. Yeah.
No.
Well, they recognize that they have to do that within the confines of their current budget and their current allotment.
As far as I know, I haven't had no conversation.
I guess I'm kind of putting this on the record because very, very soon there's not going to be much left to do much of anything with.
Very true. Yes.
Well, Hooker gets 8 miles.
8 miles. Well, but Matt brings up a point, and we haven't had it, but say Hooker ends up with 3 or 4 new roads out of building houses, or any township ends up with that. And now they're at 8 miles, and now all of a sudden they start coming back to us and go, we've had so many new houses, we need another mile. Mm-hmm. That's what he wanted on record, that no, that's not in the plans right now. That's not what any of this is doing or happening. It's
are you suggesting that we increase the amount of miles they get every year?
I'm suggesting that we do something that's been trumpeted quite a little bit lately, is to continue to try and do more with less. Yeah.
The Sheriff's Department would stop beating those roads down with their...
Look at all the miles they put.
Yeah, look at all the miles.
If the truck go fast enough, the tires stay off the surface, so it stays up better that way.
Okay, any more questions for Galen?
On this one with the new house, the homeowner pays for half of the aggregate that goes on the road?
The north half mile is the segment that the landowner wants improved because he wants to go out towards the blacktop.
So he
will share half of that cost of the initial rocking. The township is going ahead and improving the rest of the south half mile, so that'll be up to the township.
And then they pay for all the dirt work and everything like that, all the shaping the township itself pays for?
Township does. I know I did talk with Hooker Township the other day when they were in, and he did make the comment that they're replacing several driveway culverts along that stretch, and the landowner is helping with that cost. So that's just something the township has worked out with the landowner.
Now that I started the doom and gloom conversation, the positive side is, depending on the size of the home that they put out there, the economic benefit on property taxes can be anywhere from $2,500 to $4,500, based on if you look at an average home. So it's good that we're out there because it'll bring that in, but there is that additional cost and expense and maintenance. But there is a benefit to have a house out there.
And I think Matt can back me up on this because he's an expert in this just because of the group of people he represents out there. But you have talked to this person and explained to him that this decision is final and they get this part of the road rocked. The other way, if they come back in another month or something, say, you know, I really would like to go that way, this is the final decision, right?
Well, yeah.
They understand that, correct?
Yep.
Well,
yes. You pick a way, that's your way.
That was their choice to go north to the pavement.
But they understand that is final decision, and they can't come back later and say, you know, I really would like to go that way.
But here, the rest of the road's going to be done because Hooker's participating in the rest of the road.
Yeah, the township is grading up the other, the south half.
They think.
Good
point. But Galen doesn't have direct contact with the homeowner, probably. This is through
the township and the landowner.
Yeah. We should make sure that contact is made if it hasn't been. I don't care if it's township or county, because it always comes back to us.
Well, the further you go north, the more problems there are.
How do they feel about potential special use permits in an ag district?
We want that on record, before.
We have a questionnaire. Waivers.
I understand.
I mean, I'm not trying to be a stinker. I'm just saying that. You go out there.
Who started this?
Yes, who started
the role that I'm playing in this is to do the resolutions.
But you look so good right there. You look so good.
Galen, can you facilitate all these questions with that potential homeowner?
I could if I had to. Put it that way. But I do inspect the road prior to the rock being put on it to make sure it's up to the date to the new specifications.
I like it when Galen gets up there.
Galen loves coming to see us, too.
Yes.
This is Resolution 17-04.
Okay, Resolution 17-04. We have a motion and a second to approve. Vote 7-0 in favor. Thank you, Galen.
You
appreciate taking time to explain.
Thanks for being
it.
Such a good sport, right?
Anything else?
Thinking about his rock, have you guys ever looked? This is just a little off subject, I guess, which is nothing new. I don't know if you guys have ever looked at the amount of road we have compared to, like, the county to the east of us. It is phenomenal.
Or the west,
Oh, yeah. We have roads everywhere broken out like they're supposed to be. You go anywhere else, and it's like, well, there's a road here and a road there, and once in a while. So even though Galen's got his hands full and the sheriff does keep tearing up our roads, they look really good. I mean, especially considering how many miles of road we have.
And
I do have one other thing. I brought it up a little bit at committee discussion or committee meeting, but I wanted to hear. And since Roger was here today, mentioned after our chicken permit that, or sometime we need to reassess our zoning regulations. When we had the wind farm thing we went through, we were very fortunate. Lancaster County has the staff and everything they had. They facilitated all those meetings and all of that. And I don't know if we can or not, and that's why I wanted to bring it up today. I wanted to maybe go and get Hannah Keelan down at a meeting, have them give us a discussion on how they would propose. Somebody is going to have to have meetings and visit with people and collect input and see what's all on. Quite truthfully, I can't do that. This board don't have the staff. But I wanted to contact them and have them down at a future meeting and have them give us a presentation on maybe how they would propose doing that. Can we do that now as long as we don't, I call it, get to the point where we don't take any action on anything, but they could do the legwork or start that?
As slow as courts sometimes appear to move, it's going to move a lot quicker than your review of the entire planning and zoning book.
Right.
You're not talking months, quite frankly, because you've got established uses out there now.
Yeah.
People have made business decisions and or personal decisions based upon our zoning laws. And whenever you start talking about doing some different things, you're going to see what you've seen on your last few permits.
Yes.
You know, the natural friction between urban and rural.
Yep.
And it's a tough situation for everybody. So when you start looking at that, and like with the wind generators, that's one issue.
Yes.
Even though it does impact a lot of the ground, but that's only one thing you're talking about is those setbacks that we were looking at height restrictions and those kind of things. And that wasn't simple at all. I mean, there's so much information out there that wasn't out there 15, 20 years ago in regard to these things. As far as this was a classic case here where the permit or the petition situation was handled because people came in and said, we want to do it. We talked, told them what they needed to do, and they did it. The other ones didn't do it. And to me, it's that simple. Now, we'll let a judge decide if it's that simple or not. And if it isn't, okay, whatever. I don't think it would have an impact because it's going to be one of several issues the consultant's going to look at. I think initially they're going to start with like a survey of the county. And I just go back to when the city did this, and this has been a number of years ago, but they hired the consultant to come back in. And I don't recall how many meetings, like all your local contractors, realtors, everybody that's impacted with land use in this county. And within the city, you don't have your agricultural community. So that's going to be a lot of information gathering before they even sit down and say, here's what we're proposing as far as redrawing zones. Here's some extra zones that didn't exist back in whenever this was, that we're suggesting some more transitional zones. Plus you got a price tag that's going to go with that. Cause that's going to be, I'm just saying, it's going to be, those folks work really hard.
They work really hard. Yeah. And I'll just say this. I saw how they did with the housing, project or the housing study here in Beatrice. And to do it the right way, we're going to need help. I'll just say, I don't see how we as a board can come up and do it what really needs to be done and basically relook at everything but the wind part of it and stuff. So I will try and visit with them, and we'll see here if we can't get them down. And so they can give us some kind of talk and presentation. We can ask them as a board.
Timetables and costs. Mm-hmm. Those are two things this board would be interested in.
Okay, John.
And I think one thing we ought to do with this is, you know, the one thing that's going to be coming is solar energy, and we probably should make sure our zoning addresses it before it's here. And it'd probably be good to...
That is, I'll agree with you, as you go around or hear stories around the state or comments, that's what's coming as much as anything in the state is solar, and how are we going to handle that, or is it in our zoning? I don't know.
Right. And stuff. So we want to be sure we remember economic development also and where we can place new industry and businesses and expansions. We don't want to forget that.
It would be quite a comprehensive look, and I'll just say this. My thought is we need somebody else. We need some group that has more expertise in it than we do directing something like that, so that they can come forward with recommendations for this board and for the zoning board.
Expertise, we just don't want to tell you.
We do. Thanks. Okay, anything else? Otherwise, we do have a couple things in closed session we need to do today. Anything else? Lenhart, you were going to...
Park the bathroom?
Yeah, I got a few questions.
Roared. Lanhart Fritzen, 29813 South 120th Road. I was listening to your bids over here, and you was talking about wash gravel. Does that take all the sand out?
No, it does not take the sand out. It takes the dirt out. The sand would still be based on the gradation set up by the state for a 2A aggregate, so you're allowed so many percent passing like a 200 sieve, and that'd be what you're looking at. I think on this, it'd be 100% passing the 200 sieve yet, but you're only allowed so many percentage, so much of your product to be that percentage of product.
Well, that was an impressive answer. I was impressed over here. Is anyone else like that?
That's what I'm coming by. You know, you go down the road after the gravel's hauled off, about so long here that sand all comes. And I just wondered, can you bid on different quality then, too? It's higher price in the long run?
I did some work in Fillmore County this last year, and they graveled the road. We put rock down, and then they graveled behind it. The gravel they're getting is basically a fill sand with a little bit of gravel mixed in. It's horrid. What we're specking in Gage County is a 2A, so you have so many... So much of it is a big product, and so much of it goes down to smaller. But
Lenart, we include in our bid specifications, we include what that has to meet, what that gravel has to meet, okay? And we've had to, during the years, several times go and check that, and when they don't, there was one time they didn't get paid for some loads and everything. So, Galen, in that bid form, that has certain specifications, and I don't know exactly what they are, but they're all listed in there what that has to meet.
If you ever see some bad stuff, though, call the highway department right away or grab a five-gallon bucket of it or something. Yep. But I assume you don't want him to grab it, but you probably want him to call you. And if you see some bad stuff, I mean, it can happen.
We had that a couple years ago that they hauled so many loads that was not the quality it was supposed to be, and Galen went and talked to him, and we got credit, so we didn't have to pay for those and so on. So that is something we try to keep on top of.
So the cheaper product is a screened instead of a washed, though, and the screen inherently has more clay or dirt mixed in with it.
Yeah. Well, it caught my ear when it said washed gravel. I look at that as that's for concrete and stuff. Man, are you going to get that good of gravel on the road, you know? I was
wondering. Most of your gravel you see is washed up until the last 7 years ago. Almost every, just the way they mine it, they pump it out of a hole, so it's in water already. And then it goes to, it's called a wash plant, and it just screens it on out. So it's washed by the way they're mining it. This new screened gravel, instead of pumping it, everything's mechanically transferred by bucket and truck. So it just goes onto a shaker deck. And instead of washing it to get the gravel up there, they put it on a belt and then just shake the fines off of it. So it's just a different process of
doing it. Okay.
But when you see bank run gravel like those on some of these bids, they still run through a sieve, per se.
Yep.
Bank run
doesn't mean
still run
dig the whole thing and dump it. It still is run through a sieve, but like he said, there you could see more clay product in it or something else. But in some cases, I've seen that bank run material look a whole lot better than washed gravel, simply because of the coarse in it. It depends on where you're at.
Texture of it.
Yep.
And
most a lot of coarse in it.
Most of the difference whether it's all going to be washed or bank run is if the gravel is in the water table, it's going to be washed gravel because that's the way they're going to do it. Otherwise, they're just going to wash it for concrete.
It's just like a load of corn. You have a load of corn, you have so much FM foreign material you can have in it, more or less. I mean, same thing.
Yeah.
And then bids stipulate that.
Yeah, it's kind of like they do at the ports when they chip it on the... They're allowed so much junk in it, I call it. And that's why I was wondering if that's how the bids are done on the gravel deal. I got one other question. Is I was reading in the paper and he's going to build a $500,000 shed for paperwork. Is that correct, Gus?
Excuse me, Leonard, what?
They're wanting to build a $500,000 shed for the stuff that you got to keep your dope and beer. You never invite me to a beer party.
You drink it all. No, it wasn't $500,000. That was just a figure. I think I was talking more towards $300,000. I was thinking, but that was only a portion of that was for evidence. So we still need things for a wash bay and our cars, and there's just a lot of different things that come into play with that, other than just evidence.
Oh,
yeah.
The shed itself, what they quoted in the paper, was for $300,000. There are $200,000, well, $50,000 to tear down the house and $150,000 for a project over here to remodel where the evidence room is at.
I see. So, I thought you'd wasting my tax dollars again when I caught my eye.
No, if you would like to donate the money for us to build that additional building, we'd be glad to take it.
Linhart jail, I can see that.
Linhart, he wanted way more money than that. We started to back him back down to $500,000.
Well, I tell you, I've got a solution. You donate 10% of your wages what you're making here, and you'll have it in no time.
Thank you, Leonard.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just had a few questions. I mean, the main thing I come for is fertilizer deal is real interesting.
Well, you'll be back in 4 weeks then on the 29th.
Well, of all the stuff that's going on, maybe since Trump gets in, the regulations might fall away a little bit. There we go.
Thank you, Leonard. Okay, we have a couple things we need to talk about in closed session. I entertain a motion to go into closed session at 10:05 on the clock, necessary for the protection of public interest or for protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. Need a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Right.
Second. Motion by Tiemann, right. Seconded by Byers. Vote. 7-0 in favor.
All right. Sounds good. Just
anybody
give me
need a quick break. Okay.
Oh, wait, right. We had one.
We on?
Yep.
Okay, 11:18 on the clock. I'll entertain a motion to come out of closed session.
It's all moved.
Second. Motion by team and second by Byers. Vote. 5-0 in favor with Bauman and Juergens gone.
Hey, we even did that right.
Yes, I know it.
Good job, John.
The guy on this side of the room was in charge, so look at what he did.
He wouldn't trust us over here. We wouldn't have done it right.
You see how much quicker he is now that he's an independent?
Okay. No, anything else? Anything else?
Trump's speech
move,
last
move
night.
To adjourn.
You know.
Wait, motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Hill. Vote. 5-0 in favor. No, hold it. Tiemann voted against again. 4 in favor, 1 against.
You lost again.
Was you writing down 5-0?
Yes.
You were?
Well, I was just following you.
I didn't want to give him credit, so that's why I said 5-0. So
I just figured no one was listening.
Oh.